patio. You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome Joey Nunnally, Baldwin County engineer, joining us on Community Contact. Good morning, Joey.
Good morning.
And tell us, what is the capacity for the Baldwin County engineer? Is it for roads and bridges and whatnot?
Yeah, that's correct. So any road or bridge inside the county, not inside the municipality or on a state route, but just basically inside the county that is county, county maintained, that's my responsibility. So,
holy cow, that's a lot of responsibility you've got, Joey.
Well, it's a big county. I've got about 1,500 miles of roads.
1,500 miles. How many people do you have in your department helping you?
Total, it's about a little over 160.
Wow. So there's always a pothole. There's always a project somewhere, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And especially with all the rain that we've had this year, that increases our work order load.
Bridges, I presume, are probably one of the biggest work order load.
Yes, bridges are always giving us problems. We have an aging infrastructure. Mm-hmm. I think you see a lot of data coming out on that, and we are trying our best to try to fix those. So
you have to analyze and study. How does that work? How do you know when a bridge is at its shelf life, if you will?
So from an engineering standpoint, we design bridges to last about 50 years. That's the lifespan of a bridge from an engineering standpoint. So when we're in the design phase, that's what we do. We try to design them from a structural and capacity standpoint to last 50 years. So, you know, we've got some bridges in this county that were built in the 60s. There's quite a few that were built in the 60s. One of the ones I'm trying to get funding for right now is actually County Road 32 bridge over Fish River. That's one of my largest bridges in the county. It's actually one of my posted bridges in the county, and it's one of my oldest bridges in the county. It's one of the most expensive bridges that is going to be for me to replace. We're probably estimating somewhere around $15 to $16 million to replace that bridge.
Yikes! So how do you go about finding the funding and making that happen? Is it all county funded? Can you get state dollars or federal dollars? How does that work?
So that's a big question, I guess. To the short answer to that is, for a project that size, there's no way that the county can actually fund that out of its own coffers. We can't bite off a $15-16 million bridge and do it. We just don't have that kind of money in this county. So to answer your question, we've got to go after other funding sources, and that's kind of what my job is, constantly look for those additional funding sources.
Well, is the Democrats' multi-trillion-dollar infrastructure plan going to pay for it for you? And why not?
So, I definitely...
I laugh, but it's a shame, really.
Yeah, so I mean, if that passes, and they're talking about it passing sometime in September is what they're talking about, we will definitely see some of that money.
Oh, well, that's good. How much money do you know?
I don't know yet. Depends on what form and fashion that thing passes. But Alabama will get some of that money. And then, of course, that is passed down through the Department of Transportation at the state level to each individual county. And how much of that Baldwin County sees, we don't know yet.
I see. Okay. So is my math correct that Fish River Bridge is 61 years old?
That's correct.
And the lifespan is 50?
That's correct.
Yikes.
Yeah. So it's lasted a little bit longer than what it was designed to last, which is one of the reasons it's posted. It's actually what we call a steel girder bridge.
It's posted. What does that mean?
It's posted means it can't carry what we call a legal load. A legal load from tonnage is on a county road is going to be about 80,000 pounds, and that one cannot carry that.
So does that mean no big trucks, 18-wheelers?
That's correct.
Type thing?
Yeah. Okay. The worst thing you can do to a bridge is put a dump truck full of dirt or gravel or asphalt or a concrete truck.
So none of those can pass over that bridge right now?
They're not supposed to.
Wow. Yikes.
Yeah. So concrete trucks and dump trucks use, you know, and it's because there's so much weight concentrated on such a short axle load. Mm-hmm. Where like an 18-wheeler is spread out over a long distance, okay. Where a dump truck and a concrete truck's very short wheel spans.
Okay. So that must be your number one priority, bridge-wise, I'm guessing. But there's probably many others.
Well, yeah, there is. There's a lot of others. Currently, I think right now we have, I think it's probably around 14, 15 posted bridges in the county. A few years ago, I would say probably about 5 years ago, we had about 22 posted bridges in the county. So we've been knocking them out, and then, mm-hmm. you know, on a consistent basis. Currently, we have one that's being under design on River Road down in Foley that we're going to replace this coming year. And that'll be another posted bridges that we knock out. There's another one up in Bay Minette area that we're knocking out. Currently, we have two bridges under construction right now, and that's kind of an interesting story there. We got $1 million grant from the Federal Highway Administration. It's called an AID grant, AID, mm-hmm. and it stands for Accelerated Innovative Development. And that was in a tune of about $1 million that we got when we submitted for that grant to replace the County Road 65 bridge and then the bridge on Doc McDuffie Road. We had to prove that the construction techniques that we were going to be using was both accelerated in construction techniques and innovative in construction techniques. So we did that by two different ways. One, using a different type of bridge girder that we had never used in this area before, and which was the innovative part. We also used a ultra high strength concrete mix to help in the innovative way, and the mm-hmm. For the accelerated way was we replaced the girders, but we left the substructure. So the pilings and the caps that hold everything up, they were in good shape. The superstructure, which is the deck area, that's what was giving us problems and was breaking down. Mm-hmm. Ironically, both of these bridges are right beside a concrete plant and an asphalt plant.
That's funny.
So, and with the growth that we're seeing in this county, obviously those trucks are staying really busy.
I see.
So those bridges,
and they're the heavy ones that you were just talking
exactly.
about. Exactly.
Okay. And so those bridges were seeing a lot of heavy loads in the form of concrete trucks and asphalt uh-huh. trucks and stuff. And so that we could tell that those bridges were taking a pounding, and we had to do something to get them, you know, to get them safe back up. And so we put in for this grant. We use this different types of technology. The grant got approved for $1 million, and they're under construction now. We actually just opened up County Road 65. We were scheduled to leave that bridge closed for 6 weeks. Now think about that. We tore a bridge out and put it back together and opened it back up to traffic in 6 weeks.
Wow.
And that's what it was scheduled. We actually did it in 5. And so that was, we were very, very proud of that. The contractor is Blade Construction mm-hmm. Out of Foley. And they've done a great job. And then now they're working on the Doc McDuffie Road, and they're on schedule to open that one up in 5 weeks as well. So
the most recent bridge I recall being out of commission and replaced was the one on County Road 9 that affected a lot of Fish River traffic.
Yeah, that's correct. So the 2014 floods that we uh-huh. had a few years ago scoured Polecat Creek, which is that's the name of the creek that bridge crosses. It scoured Polecat Creek, which means that we have pilings that are in the stream, and those pilings that hold up the bridge were eroded around so bad that it kind of put the structure in a little bit of danger.
Okay.
So we had to go in there with emergency forces and repair those and get it safed back up temporarily in order to be able to get a design and bridge replaced project going, which took all of a total after right-of-way acquisition, utility relocations, and construction all took about probably 3 or 4 years. And but that one obviously got done about a year ago, and it's been a good project. We got a lot better bridge. It's now going to last another 50 mm-hmm. or 60 years that we don't have to worry about.
So you actually have to employ, I guess, scuba divers to do some of your inspections? How does all that work?
We do. So The standards are that we replace, that we inspect every bridge that has public traffic going over it every 2 years at minimum. Some we do every year, some we do every 6 months, some we do every 3 months. And once it gets, depending on the condition of the bridge. Underwater inspections, the standard is to do those once every 5 years. And now we obviously, after a big flood event like that, we look at everything really close. Even if it's not scheduled for an inspection, we do an inspection to make sure that everything's safe.
Did you tell me how many bridges we have in Baldwin County yet?
I did not, but it's 164.
Wow. 164 bridges. Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Joey Nunnally, the Baldwin County engineer. And this is just so fascinating. You don't think about these things on a regular basis, but I did recently because the Fairhope City Council annexed two streets on Monday night. And I said to Jack Burrell and Sherry Sullivan, how do you annex a street? I thought, and how do you initiate it as the city? I thought a resident had to request annexation of their property. And they explained that Nelson Drive, a portion of it anyway, as well as a portion of Scenic 98 or Main Street, belonged to the county, and they were now going to annex it into the city because it was surrounded by city property. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the way this works is, and this all goes back to a state statute that dates back to 1995, and the way the law is stated is that if a city annexes in property on both sides of a particular section of road that was maintained by the county for a year or more in the past, mm-hmm. then that particular section of that road becomes a city road. So we maintain roads all over the county around municipalities, and as these municipalities grow, they will incorporate some of these county maintained roads, and we have to do these types of actions with the cities, mm-hmm. to officially hand that road over for their maintenance program.
How does or does the legislation freezing the extra, I always want to say extraterrestrial, extraterritorial jurisdiction, and then eventually possibly eliminating it, how does that affect your department, or does it at all?
It does. From a street maintenance, or road maintenance standpoint, it doesn't have a big effect, because these ETJs is what we call them. Extra.
That's a lot easier. ETJ.
Yeah, that's what we call them. So these ETJ in these areas where the ETJ took place, the developer and engineers were dealing with not only the city, but they were also dealing with the county, and they were, the city's got a set of subdivision regulations, the county's got a set of subdivision regulations, but in these ETJs, the rule is the most stringent rule applied. That was kind of how it's worded. Well, that stringent rule can be interpreted many different ways. It depends on your perspective. And so when most of the time in these ETJs, the county just kind of said, okay, look, the cities are growing, we will kind of adhere to their specs if they're more stringent. If not, we're going to adhere to ours. But once they went through the whole city's approval process, they would turn around and hand it back off to us. We would do the inspections of the roads and inherit the roads. So it was a little convoluted, because they go through the city process, but the county turns around and has to maintain the road that was built to kind of a city standard. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. So what about now?
So this act that was passed, I think it's called Act 2021-297, basically kind of helps clarify all of that confusion. And It shrinks those ETJ areas down over time. It can freeze them right now. And those negotiations between the county commission and each one of the individual 14 municipalities that are in this county are going on currently about where those zones are going to lie. The way the bill's written is the zones can't expand any greater than what their police jurisdiction was at the beginning of this year. But they can shrink if the city wants them to shrink, and the county commission agrees to do that. So there's all those negotiations are taking place right now.
Yes, Mayor Sherry Sullivan was here just Tuesday, and we talked about it. And it's complicated with some perhaps unintended results that each municipality and the county are having to work through, it as well as this whole state, because it is a statewide act.
It is. Now, not all states enact, or not all counties in this state enact their ETJs. Some do and some don't. Some have zoning and some don't. Baldwin County has both zoning and the enforcement of their ETJs. So it's not very simple. It can be very complicated and confusing.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with the Baldwin County engineer, Joey Nunnally. The fourth Thursday of each month is reserved for Baldwin County, and is often a county commissioner. They're having the state of the county, which is like an overview of how the year went and what was accomplished. Did you have to submit something from your department to be included in that state of the county?
I did. The commission basically wanted to kind of just give an update on what all we've done since this four commissioners have taken office, and we've gotten a lot done at their leadership and their guidance, and we have a great commission right now. What I submitted to them was the fact that since they've taken office, they have helped fund 231.7 miles of resurfacing roads. We've also paved a little over 23 miles of dirt roads. We've also put in about four different turn lanes to help with safety and congestion. We've installed three different traffic lights. And we've done either a repair or replacement on 10 different bridges. And that goes back to the statement I said earlier, we're really knocking out some of those posted bridges. Since they've taken office, they've helped fund 10 of those. We've also, part of our strategic plan, one of the things that this commission's done is that we all had a big meeting down at Gulf Shores, and as a staff and commission, we developed what we call a strategic plan.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those strategic plans asked me to focus on regional detention from all the drainage issues that we're having in the county. And one of the things that we've already gotten accomplished was we built an 11-acre regional detention pond down in Foley. And it worked great during Hurricane Sally. It performed really well, and we've already seen a lot of improvements from that. We've also done four different park, I guess you could call them park/water access projects, and that's the information that I submitted to them. Those are the things that we've done since this commission's taken office in my department.
Is that something like Live Oak Landing that you participated in, you mean, when you park water access project?
Yeah, so we improved I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, but we improved Morgantown, which is a little park right off the coast of it's off the Fort Morgan Peninsula, and it's actually a public property right beside Morgantown. The Morgantown is the name of the little subdivision down there.
Mm-hmm.
And we paved a parking lot down there. We actually built a new boardwalk that you could, you know, over the sand dunes, so you could get out to the park. The biggest thing we've done is we purchased about 46 and a half acres of property down close to the toll bridge that we're going to build it's called the launch. That's the official name, but it started out being called the Intercoastal Waterway Boat Launch, and the commission's recently named it the launch. And to kind of go with the theme of the wharf, because it's right across the waterway from the wharf. And that particular boat launch is going to be about, it'll have six different launches that that'll be accessible to the public, be free to the public. There'll be enough room for parking at boat launches. Parking is always the issue. Our boat launches are overcrowded on the south end of the county. You can't, you can't find a parking spot at a boat launch.
I have the fact sheet on it. That's what I was digging for, because it's very impressive to see all of the accommodations at this massive launch.
That's right. It's got over 1,700 feet of water frontage. We got 200 lighted boat and trailer parking spots.
That's nice.
We'll have an additional 84 passenger car spaces. We have six covered pavilions with a picnic tables for seating. And then we have this one grand pavilion that's about a 20 by 30 grand pavilion. It'll be very nice. We have eight restrooms, be four women, four male. And then there'll be some sidewalks and boardwalks in the future. And we didn't have the money to actually build those right this minute.
But that can be in the future plans, right?
That's correct.
Very cool. That sounds really, really nice. Joey, what else would you like to tell us that I have not thought to ask? Oh, I just thought of something. Is the Twin Beach Road at our Greeno and Twin Beach Road there by the high school where we're putting in a turning lane, does that have anything to do with the county?
It does not.
Okay.
So a few years ago, those goes back to our previous conversation about how the city was growing and annexing.
Mm-hmm.
The city of Fairhope had grown and annexed in that area of County Road 44. Yeah. So the name doesn't change when this happens, and that gets a little confusing.
It does, because it says County Road 44, so I'm thinking right. County property, but now it's part of the city.
That's correct. So okay. And that happened probably about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They annexed in so much property on 44 that particular section of road became the city.
Okay.
The city then put in for a grant opportunity through the ATRIP program, mm-hmm. through ALDOT to install turn lanes. So that project is actually between the city and ALDOT.
And is that part of the Eastern Shore MPO as well, or not?
So the Eastern Shore MPO actually gets a little bit of funding to help with projects of that type. But since Fairhope was awarded that grant, the Eastern Shore MPO didn't have to fund or help fund project.
Separate pots of money. It's kind of complicated and a shell game almost, if you will. So your department then would be in charge of the widening of 181 and the diverging diamond, or is that a state project?
So that's a state project.
I'm so confused.
I know. It gets confusing, but I'd get that question a lot.
I bet you do.
And so any road that's a state road, which would be like Highway 59, Highway 225, Highway 181, Highway 59, 180, 182, all those are going to be major state routes. Those are all going to be state projects. So any work, 31, the widening on 31, is all state. So between interesting talking about pots of money, the county actually helped, the commission actually helped funded those state projects, which even, I know gets even more confusing. So the county was able to get awarded through the Restore Act,
mm-hmm. and
the BP money, the Restore Council, a total of about $56.8 million to help with capacity issues in Baldwin County. That $56.8 million went to Highway 31 widening project and two of the projects, which was 31 and 181, were helped funded by that act. So ALDOT, we got the money, handed that money to ALDOT and said, hey, we got issues over here from capacity. This money is, mm-hmm. to help y'all do these projects, and that money's there to help them do that. So
very interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Anything else you want to mention? We're just about out of time.
I think that's it.
Very interesting and very informative. You just don't realize all that goes on kind of behind the scenes, and that what you would kind of consider what you do is behind the scenes, we don't notice unless there's a problem, right?
That's right.
If until the road's closed or the bridge is closed, we don't think about it, but you have to think about it 24/7.
That's right. There's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes before you actually see the construction guys' boots on the ground, and then of course it can't get done quick enough.
So. Absolutely. Thank you so much. Our Baldwin County engineer, Joey Nunnally, joining us on Community Contact. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Baldwin County joins us the fourth Thursday of each month. If you can't listen on the radio, or perhaps you heard part of it and want to hear the rest, or you want to tell a friend, you can listen later, generally by lunchtime. They are posted at WABF1480.com. That's WABF1480.com. Good morning, 850.